Thank you. Hello again. I feel like Pastor Stephen preached the message I was going to preach, so we can all go home. So a few weeks ago, we started on Galatians, book of the Bible. Pastor Stephen's preached on grace being sufficient. Do you remember that? Sufficient. So I'm going to continue today and next week, finish off next week. But for today, we're going to look at three scriptures in Galatians 1, 1 and 2, Galatians 1, 6 to 12, and Galatians 3, 1 to 5. So I'll just read through those and just bear with me. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any men, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians, one of my favorite scriptures, just that line. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Let's quickly pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as I share from these words, that you would touch everyone's heart. May we have ears to hear, and may it sit in our spirit, and may this cause a shift in our thinking and a shift in our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who sent you? Who sent you? Paul identifies himself to his audience, his listeners in this letter, the Galatians, not by gender, nor by racial background, or even socioeconomic background, but instead as who God sent him to earth as, an apostle. Why did Paul feel the need to introduce himself in this manner? I believe there are two reasons. One, he wanted to set the foundation and establish his authority for what he was about to say. That's the first thing, authority. You know, authority is something that a lot of people struggle with. Even at a cultural level, there's differences. Some cultures disregard authority. Some cultures elevate authority. Abuses of power have made some people skeptical about authority. However, if we look through the lens of the kingdom of God, we understand that authority is God's system of establishing his purposes on earth. That's how God does it. So the first thing, he wanted to set the foundation and establish his authority. The second thing, he wanted to show that he was not on a man-made mission, but rather a heavenly assignment. Paul needed the Galatians to understand that who God had called him to be was not something that could be manipulated by human beings, as it was of supernatural origin. So I have a few questions for you. Do you understand that you have been sent? So you are on assignment. Number two, do you understand who you have been sent as? So you have a purpose. Thirdly, do you understand who has sent you and the authority that they hold? Because you get to lean on that authority. You know, very few of us can say that we've been sent as apostles to our generation. In fact, many of us struggle with the very idea that we have been sent. But the issue is not whether or not we have been sent. The issue, the problem we have is that there's a spirit of doubt and unbelief that plagues us. That could we possibly be chosen for an assignment from heavenly places? John 15, verse 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You did not choose me." I'd like you to think about that for yourself. God is saying, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Why? So that you might go. You have been sent. So that you might go and do what? Bear fruit. So we are meant to bear fruit. When was the last time you checked whether you were bearing fruit? When was the last time I checked whether I was bearing fruit? Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Unbelievable. Do you like the picture? Unbelievable. Paul says, "I am astonished. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ." Paul was expressing his disbelief, and you can almost feel his disappointment about how the Galatians were so quick to do a runner. That's the expression in Australia, isn't it? To do a runner on him. And on the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ and the new relationship that was not dependent on works, but grace, as we believe. He highlights that they are failing to live in the grace. You know, one of the signs for me that I'm having a hectic week is when at 8 a.m. in the morning, before I even start my day, I start to imagine myself walking back into the house through the front door and getting into my home clothes, usually my pajamas, sitting on my favorite chair, relaxing with a cup of tea and watching senseless TV. That's when I know I'm having a hectic week, when I just can't wait and I haven't even left the house. Home is a place of comfort. A place of rest, a place of restoration, and a place of safety. We are called to live in grace and allow grace to be home for us. So, place of grace should bring us comfort. It should bring us rest. It should bring us restoration and safety. However, some of us live on Law Street, and religious avenue. Law Street, religious avenue. Because it's all we've ever known. And it's what feels comfortable. That's what home is for us. But that is not what we are called to. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Why does it say the letter kills? When it says the letter, it's talking about the law. Living according to the law has penalties for not fully obeying it. That's why it says, for the letter kills. In the Old Testament, we see penalties that involve death for breaking commandments. Now, here's the thing. You might think, well, that was back then. There's not much killing happening here for breaking the law. But it still happens. There's still a killing that happens in the form of condemnation. So there might not be somebody who's coming to kill, but there's condemnation. If you've decided that you're going to live according to the law and not according to grace, then there's condemnation that comes every time you don't fulfill the law. And what happens is that you end up in this place of guilt. The Bible teaches us that it is impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. So we cannot please God by following the law. The only way we can please God is by faith. So really, faith is what we should pursue and not the law. Because failure to obey the law will lead us to live in a place of perpetual guilt and condemnation. And there is no growth in condemnation. So, up there, could we have that picture of the truck again? I really like that picture. This picture is a picture of an overloaded truck. It just looks wrong, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It looks wrong. If it was a person, we could say that this person is overburdened. How many people are overburdened here? Feel free to raise your hand. One person is overburdened. Okay, a few more. Thank you. If it was a person, we'd say they're overburdened. If it were a family, we would say they're overstretched. And if it was a church, we could say they're punching above their weight. That truck is punching above its weight, isn't it? Like the overloaded truck, there can only be limitations with that. There can only be a lack of progress. And in time, there will be a breakdown that will require a lot of unloading, that will require a lot of repairs in order for it to function the way it's meant to. And I'd like you to think about that for yourself. Are you overloaded? At any given time, we are overloaded in one area. Just when we think that, okay, I've got my finances sorted, then there's issues with the children. Just when you think, okay, the children are sorted, then there's something else with the marriage. Just you think the marriage is sorted, there's something wrong with the workplace. There's always something at any given time. At any given time. So with that in mind, I would like to finish off with this idea. Don't be a people pleaser. How many people pleasers have we got here? Show of hands. 5, 6, 7. Okay, so the rest of you, what are you? So we've got 7 people pleasers. Or maybe we've got other people who are just too shy to raise their hands. That's understandable. Which ones? The ones who are raising their hands? Okay, the ones who are not raising their hands are trying to please. Okay, don't be a people pleaser. You know, when I wrote this down, I was like, this is interesting. I'm the last person to write this. Like if there was a competition for the people pleasers, I'll probably win. Seriously, I'm not joking. After taking the time to explain to the Galatians why they must stop following another gospel that was not really a gospel, he says this in verse 10 of Galatians 1. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, listen to this, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that's you and I, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He didn't read his way through this. It was revealed to him. It was a supernatural experience. And you cannot compete with that. You cannot compete with revelation, no matter how hard you work. Paul highlights that not only, as we heard in the beginning, not only was he sent from God as an apostle, but the gospel that he preached was also from God. Who knows, the message that you carry is not of human origin. Do you understand that not only do you carry a message for the world out there, or even this world in here, but that message is not of human origin, which means you cannot manufacture it. So when you find yourself struggling to come up with something to say or to do, understand that that's man-made, that's not of God, that's not from, that is still human origin. When you're finding that you're struggling, what am I going to say to that person? How am I going to pray for that person? It says in the Bible, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. We can expand that scripture to say, not by popularity, not by personality, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The things that we do are not based on our personalities. They're based on the work of the Spirit. So back to highlighting the importance of the Holy Spirit in the things that we do. If I was to write an essay about this, I would title it, How to Stop Being a People Pleaser, Christianity 101. That's the basics. For us Christians, we need to know very quickly how to stop being a people pleaser. Paul's example, his words are very confronting for someone like me, like I said, who's always been a people pleaser. Growing up, I was the compliant child. Like the adults loved me. Because I always did what I was told. Some were rebels. I couldn't do the rebel thing. I do it now. I couldn't do it back then. I was known as the nice girl, the teacher's pet. In fact, when I was 16 years old, I was voted in at our high school as the head girl. Head girl of 1996. And I believe it's because they knew they could walk all over me. Seriously, I couldn't challenge. I never knew how to use my voice. That's the only thing that makes sense to why they voted me in, because I was a nice girl. I was a people pleaser. I always wanted to do the right thing. In every role that I've played in life, I've always wanted to please people. Never wanted to offend anyone or to make anyone upset. It was just part of my personality. But who knows that when you get into the kingdom of God, you cannot work based on your personality. Something has to change. Something changes, and God is the one who makes that change for you. My husband used to call me a goody two shoes. Yes, he did. Goody two shoes. The net effect of all these things was that everyone else's voice rang louder. My question to you is, whose voice rings loud in your world? Whose voice is louder than the Spirit of God in your life? Have you had moments where you think God is saying something to you, but you quickly dismiss it because it goes against your natural inclination? It goes against your personality. One thing that's tied to the need to please people is a fear of rejection. At the root of that need to please people is a fear of rejection. However, the Apostle Paul is saying something really important for us here. He says you can't do both. If you are a servant of Christ, then your first priority and obligation is to pleasing God. Otherwise, he says, you just cannot be a servant of Christ. I mean, most, if not all of us, probably think we are servants of Christ. But based on this, we probably are not all servants of Christ. What we are is we are children of God, we are Christians, we are followers of Christ, but we're not servants of Christ. The Bible teaches us that you cannot serve both God and money. I think that scripture is relevant for every other area. I think you cannot serve God and anything else. When you're serving God, you're serving God. So I'll just finish off with this commentary. Before I pray for people, I just get the band to come up. This is a commentary on servanthood. And I'd like us to really listen to this and see how it applies to us. It says, in many places in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. The Lord's half-brother Jude refers to himself in the same way. Rather than capitalize on his close relationship to Jesus, Jude relegated himself to the status of a servant. Jesus' family, friends, and chosen apostles refer to themselves as his servants, the plain implication being that Jesus is Lord. If I am servant, he is Lord. Servant is a translation of the Greek word doulos, which means more literally a slave or bond servant, someone who set aside all their rights of his own to serve another. Because the word slave carries such a negative connotation in this generation, people don't like to use it. So they use servant. A servant of Christ knows who is the king. A servant of Christ is one who has voluntarily set aside his or her personal rights in order to love, serve, and obey the will of God in Christ Jesus. Servants of Christ, lastly, die daily to sin and fleshly desires, allowing Christ's life to flow through them. When you understand, you can stop playing. When you understand that you have been sent, who sent you? You understand that you have been sent and who sent you? And what authority they have bestowed upon you, and what they have sent you to do, then you walk differently and you serve differently. So I'll get you to just stand up as we wrap it up. Just want to go into a time of prayer around a few areas. And I'd really like you to think carefully about this so that we can pray and let God hear us and let God do what he needs to do. Just four areas. Number one, if you feel like you need to have a better understanding, a clearer revelation that you have been sent, I would encourage you to come up. If you're just not sure that you have been sent, you hear me say it, but it doesn't make sense to you. Secondly, if you know, you understand that you have been sent, but you struggle to walk in the authority that you have been given, I would like to pray for you. So number one, you want to understand that you've been sent. Number two, you want to walk in authority. Thirdly, you want to break the need to be a people pleaser or deal with that spirit of rejection. Break the need to be a people pleaser. And lastly, just fear of rejection. So the altar is open, and we're just going to pray for those areas and allow God to just work in that, because we are on assignment.